I was asked a couple weeks ago to prepare for this sermon this morning. And the Lord has just been dealing with me in this area and in my heart. And the series that the pastor has put over the last couple of weeks, including this week, has been focused on blank. And the truth is, I tried to find all the fancy words I could. Focused on anointing, right? Focused on revival growth. And the one word that came to my mind was just one. Focused on one. I believe there's an urgency and a mandate on the church of God. And I believe that missions is the heartbeat of God. I believe that with all my heart. And if there's any impact that the church can have locally and globally, it is reaching one for Jesus. That one will reach someone else. And that one will reach someone else. And before you know it, the church is expanding and reaching. And so what is my heart, my prayer this morning? That we would introduce others to Jesus. Yeah. Acts chapter 16. If you can open up your Bibles. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. This is a very familiar story to many who have read it. But I think there's a great teaching and a great story to it. And I pray that this morning the Lord would speak to your heart as he had stirred this word in my heart as well. Acts chapter 16. Verses 25 through 34. When you have it, say amen. The word of God is read in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and saying, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his household were baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all his household. Father, we come before your presence this morning. We pray that you would have your way, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be challenged as a church. We pray that you would stir something in our hearts, Lord, that we would all desire to be missionaries, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether locally or abroad. Father, give us a hunger and a thirst like never before. We pray that your word would land in good ground and give fruit. I pray that we would be challenged, Lord, this morning. Pray that you would speak to our hearts, that our ears would be open for all that you wish to speak to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. According to recent surveys, our population is over 7 billion people. And yet there are over 2 billion people that have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe there is an urgency on the church of God not to be complacent, not to lose sight of what matters and what is the heartbeat of God. I worry that at moments the church is creating too many spectators. I worry sometimes that the church might lose its focus and much be concerned about its image than reaching others for Jesus Christ. I worry sometimes that we would be concerned about the building, about how things are going in our own personal walk, and that we would not be concerned about the lost. I am referring to a Christless world. 2 billion people have not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And while it is ever present in mass numbers, it is ever passing in individual members. It is the responsibility of the individual to go to the individual. If we ever get caught up in the building, the lights, the crowds, and everything else, we will lose sight of the mission and the heartbeat of God, and that is to reach others for Jesus Christ. The New Testament church was a church that believed in healing and working and the delivering power of God. The New Testament church believed in reaching others. They believed in worship. They believed in fellowship. They believed in giving everything that they had to reach others for Jesus. In Acts chapter 16, we see Paul and Silas traveling in Philippi. It was a Roman colony, and it was a leading city in the district of Macedonia. This was the church that eventually Paul writes a letter to about 10 years later. In verses 16 and 17, and I want to draw your attention quickly, they encounter a woman who was a slave girl who was inhibited by a spirit that enabled her to tell fortunes and make large sums of money for her owner. So before we can get to the prison, we have to understand how they arrived there. And for the days that followed, she was following Paul around the city and telling people that he was a servant of the Most High. At some point, the story tells us that Paul cast out the evil spirit that was in her. And because her owners were not happy with what happened, and they realized that their prophet was gone, they go to the chief, and they say, "Chief, this man is causing a disturbance in our city." And so what happens is they end up casting them into the prison. They end up beating them in the prison. And there in the prison, their feet are shackled. There in the prison, they find themselves in a really dark place. But how many know that even in the prison, even in the darkest place, there are still people that need to hear the message of Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter where you find yourself. There are still people, no matter your own individual circumstances, that need to hear the light and the hope of the message of Jesus Christ. Now, in prison, the Bible tells us that they began to worship God in verse 25. I wonder how many, as a side note, how many would have responded that way, having been treated this way. Would they be praising or would we be silent? They weren't silent and complaining, but rather worshiping. They weren't feeling sorry for themselves. Their external circumstances did not affect their internal praise and their internal outlook that they had with God. And because the prisoners were listening to them, that tells me that the world is watching and listening to us as well. That tells me that we, as the church of God, can have an impact. We can have influence no matter where we find ourselves. And so the Bible tells us that they were listening to them. They were listening to their worship. They were listening to their praise. And the dark moments present an opportunity to shed the light of God and to shine forth His glory in what can be a difficult and insurmountable obstacle. The story tells us in Acts chapter 16, verses 26 and 27, that there was a violent earthquake and that the jail doors were open and the chains were loosed in verse 26. But the Bible tells us that there was a jailer who was responsible for all of the prisoners there. And in verse 27, it says that when he had awoken, he thought the prisoners had fled. And he draws his sword and he was about to kill himself. Because the prisoners were in his command. And if the prisoners had fled, then he would be responsible for the prisoners. And that means that he would need to give up his life. So he would suffer capital punishment because he did not take care and keep hold of the prisoners that were in his place. My first point this morning is that your location is your platform. Your location is your platform. Paul and Silas were in prison, and that was their platform. There was pain and there was darkness, but there also represented the prospects that someone needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You could be in Queens, you can be in Manhattan, you can be in Florida, you can be anywhere, you could even be in the hospital sick. But yet that place represents a platform where you can be a light and you can share the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who live in darkness. It might not necessarily have been an ideal situation for them, but it was favorable for God to work and to do a miracle right then and right there. It was where God's glory would be shed. And sometimes we think of dark places as not the most applicable or the ideal places that we envision ourselves. But the truth is, God will use your location to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they had obeyed the call in verse 25, it shows that they were leading people to Christ. And because they were leading people to Christ, it shows that they ended up in prison. The perils of dangerous climates can be occasions for great victories in Christ Jesus. I'm going to say that again. The perils of dangerous climates can be occasions for yet greater victories in Christ Jesus, who is able to display the divine power that we possessed. God used Daniel in Babylon. God used Nehemiah in Jerusalem. And God used Esther in Iran. They focused on Jesus rather than their problems. They identified with Jesus in his sufferings, and they believed God that he will bring them through it, and that this message will be spread no matter the pain or the suffering that they themselves were taking on. Point number two, God will give you reach. God will give you reach. Paul and Silas had been preaching and rebuking. But the truth is that they had not reached the girl with the spirit. They would not have been cast into prison, and they would not have reached the jailer for Jesus. In verse 28, Paul urges him not to hurt himself. He tells him, "We are all here." And in that instant, Paul's prison turned into an evangelistic opportunity because the officer was on the verge of committing suicide. He was about to kill himself. We too, as the church of God, have every opportunity given to us to be evangelists, to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, to go forth and to tell the world about the hope and the salvation that exists in Jesus Christ. What place do you find yourself in? Is it dark? Is it unfavorable? God is saying to us, will you allow me to use you in this place to share the hope of salvation? Will we allow God to use dark places to spread the message of light, of love, and forgiveness? In verse 29 and 30, the jailer was trembling because he was scared about the situation that was going on. But yet, even in that midst, Paul tells him, don't hurt yourself because we're all here. I love this because Paul demonstrates a concern for someone else. He tells him, don't do yourself any harm. He says, we are all here. And then he turns to the message and the hope that we find in Jesus. God will remove barriers for us to reach others for him. God is opening the doors, removing hinges from the doors, breaking every lens and opening the way for the entrance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He opened the prison doors in order for that jailer to have an encounter with him. And I know sometimes we use Paul and Silas and we use their praise and we say about the miracle that happened for the doors to open. And it's true that the doors opened because of their praise. But look at what salvation came as a result of the doors opening to the jailer and his household. And I think sometimes we would lose sight of the fact that we live our lives, we go about our daily routine, and the truth is that wherever we find ourselves, it is an opportunity to spread a little bit of salt, to spread a little bit of hope, to spread a little bit of forgiveness, to spread a little bit of love wherever we find ourselves. The world needs to hear Jesus, because we live in a dying world. We live in a hopeless world. And we live in a world where many need to hear this message. The great D.L. Moody was led to Christ by his Sunday school teacher. If you look at chapter 16, it's interesting that there are different types of people that are reached as a result of Paul's ministry. And I have my notes here. The social and ethnic diversity of the believers can be an example for us in that the power of God can unite rather than divide, proclaiming the gospel. So he reached a successful businesswoman, he reached a demon-possessed girl, and he reached a jailer, showing us that all can be reached. That this house is inclusive for everyone, rich or poor, no matter your background, the gospel can reach you wherever you are if you would heed the call and the mandate of God over your life. Point number three, God will give you the word. Jesus said in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, "The Spirit of God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He hath sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. To comfort those who mourn. To give beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning. To give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." At that moment where Paul and Silas here with the jailer, they tell him in verse 31, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household." God in Acts gives us a clear indication of his promise to be with us. It is his presence that carries us and equips us to do the perfect work here on earth. If we're trying to do things on our own, we're going to fail. But when we rely on the power of God, the Spirit of God, the equipping of his word, we too will be successful. Many others will come to the feet of Jesus because we're not relying on ourselves. We're relying on the power of God to reach others for him. Luke 15, verse 10, here's what it says. "Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of angels over the sinner who repents." The acts of conversion demonstrate that the jailer now washed Paul and Silas' wounds and served them a meal in his house. You see, because for this jailer, change had arrived. For this jailer, freedom had arrived. For this jailer, salvation had arrived. Deliverance had arrived. Joy had arrived. Peace had arrived. Restoration had arrived. Joy had arrived. And friendship had arrived. By the reaching of this jailer, now he and his household was serving the Lord. It is you and I, one reaching one. We don't have to go to the masses, although that's great. We need to start where we're at and ask God, "God, who can I reach for you today? Who will you give me an opportunity to reach and to tell about your love? Will it be the one that cuts your hair? Maybe it's your barber that needs to hear Jesus. Maybe it's your doctor who you see every 3 months who needs to hear Jesus. Maybe it's your classmate. Maybe it's your neighbor. There's someone who's next to you that needs to hear Jesus. And God has given you a platform to be able to share the hope of salvation with that person. And we must feel an urgency. We must feel a call. We must feel compelled. It is a heartbeat of God to go and to share this message of salvation with all. Paul and Silas obeyed the call of God. And what is that call? Matthew 28, verse 19. "Go therefore and teach all nations. It is the great manifesto of the King. We are his ambassadors. We are the witnessing church. And what I love with Paul and Silas is their boldness. It is the power of going forth in this great commission and depending on God himself. Paul and Silas changed one man, and one man changed his home, and so can we. We must recognize the divine priority. What is the priority? This divine priority means this message consists of ordinary hearers, neglected ones, and the outcast. God is entrusting us to be channels in whom he can speak to the nations. We individuals understand that the only way that we can come against the darkness is through the power of God. What was the outcome? The jailer trusted in Christ. And because he trusted in Christ, he ministered to them. And his family came to hear the gospel. What was and what might have been? We have baptism instead of funeral. We have rejoicing instead of sorrow. And we have salvation instead of separation. I'm going to say that again. What was and what happened? We had rejoicing instead of sorrow. And we have salvation instead of separation. We too are called to go change the world for Jesus Christ. So the question is, we must ask ourselves, how do we measure up to the New Testament church, and how can we become more like the New Testament church? I believe that each and every one of us have something inside of us, something that has been spoken over us, something that has come inside of us, that we too can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who are in need of hearing his message and salvation for all. There is a hope of glory, and it is found in the word of God. And God is calling us and challenging us this morning to just reach one for him. Where does God have you planted? Where does God have you? Are you an executive? Are you an admin assistant? Where does God have you? There's still space in this building for more. We can change the world. And God is going to use each and every one of you to do it. I believe that with all my heart. But I hope today that we don't lose sight of the fact that we can be in the most difficult place of life, but that cannot stop the message of Jesus from being spread abroad. In my brokenness, in my state of poverty, God is still God. In my darkness, God is still God. And I see his light, and because I see his light, and because I see his hand, I'm able to say, yes, this is my situation, but God gives me peace through it. God is walking with me through it. And that's the message that the world needs to hear. It needs to hear about a Savior who died, who gave his life for them, to redeem them, to buy them back. Because he not only wants to save that one person, he wants to save families and generations for his glory and for his honor. Could you stand with me this morning? It's over 2 billion people that have not heard the gospel. This is a mission Sunday. Each and every one of you here are missionaries. Each and every one of you. The young and the old have been called, have been given a platform to go and share this message of salvation to all who would believe. And the truth is that there are many that need to hear this message. And the heartbeat of God is for everyone to hear it. So where has God placed you that you can be of influence? Where has God placed you? And who's around you that needs to hear this glorious message? We don't need to go far. We just need to look around. There's a great challenge for the church this morning. There's a jailer that needs to hear Jesus about Jesus. There's a single mom or single dad or a student that needs to hear about Jesus. And it's easy to come and to worship and to praise and to receive an encouragement. And I'm all for that, man. But I believe there are moments where we need to recognize our mission and our priority. And that's to go spread the gospel of Jesus. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 reached three distinct people. A businesswoman, a young girl who was possessed, and then they reached the jailer. And because they reached the jailer, they reached his household. If we can start with one, we then can reach homes. And then after we reach homes, we can reach communities. We've just got to start somewhere. I want to tell you that you're a person of influence. That your testimony, wherever God has taken you from, is what you need to use to just tell people of God's power and undying love for you. God will give you the platform. God will give you the reach. And God will give you the power to do it. Father, we come before your presence. Your heartbeat, oh God, is for everyone to hear this message of hope and of salvation. It is not lost on us the responsibility that we have to share this message, that you have entrusted us with your word. Father, I pray that you would stir something in our hearts that would speak to us this morning of the urgency of reaching others for Jesus. That, yeah, we may be focused on life, we may be focused on our circumstances, we may be focused on our problems, on the things that we don't have, but help us to realign our focus on the great call, the great commission of reaching others for Jesus. Help us not to neglect the responsibility that we have as individuals to share the hope of salvation with all those who are in need of it. Give us the power, the boldness, the courage to go forth, to trust in you, to lean on you. Father, I pray that you would use every one of your people, young and old, to spread this message, to tell others about Jesus. Equip us, Father, to do this work. May we be a church that does not settle, is not complacent, but is relentless in seeing others come to Jesus. Father, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And the church of God says,
thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.